It's great to be here on Palm Sunday. I'd like to tell you that it's familiar material, but it seems to have no bottom. It's so deep. It's so rich. If this was the only thing that I studied, I think I would be okay. Maybe a year ago or so, Nathan preached a message, a rescue story. I heard the song on the way here, but a young friend of mine was really impacted and saved by that message. It was a Navy SEAL or a Special Forces person that went and rescued someone and took off their gear and laid down with the person. Think of that as maybe an incarnate prisoner. They came and spent time with them. They became them for a minute to gain their trust. Well, the young boy that was listening tells me later, he goes, I was counting ceiling tiles when he was preaching that song. That boy is saved. That boy is saved. I mean, you can count ceiling tiles, still get saved. Because God's going to have the last word. Palm Sunday is more than waving palms. Yes, they waved palms. They did. They waved palms when he came in. But let me tell you, Jesus staged this whole thing. He staged it. He staged the whole thing. He staged it through the obedience of his Father. The Father was setting this up from the beginning of time. I mean, all the way back in Genesis 49. I just found this, so don't think I'm smart. The donkey is tethered to the choicest vine. Now, God used the vine to represent Egypt. Jesus tells us in John 15 that he is the true vine. We're going to start back in Exodus 12, because I've listened to a lot of people speak, and I've read a lot on Palm Sunday, but it's like, it's more than a triumphal entry. It's our rescue story. It's our rescue story. Yes, it was a triumphal entry if your plan is to be crucified, and that was his plan. Jesus is born in Bethlehem, not by choice, by mandate, by the government. Why was he have to go to Bethlehem? Because he is the root of Jesse. He's the root of Jesse. And Jesse's son is King David. And King David, the son of David, will be the messianic king, the real king, the king that will last forever. But I'd have to ask us, I'm asking myself, and I'd have to ask everyone here, king of what and for what reason? King to do something for me or for me to serve and praise him? What do we want God for? What do we want him for? Save us now, Hosanna. Save us from what? Save us from Rome. Save us from poor. Save us from this. Save us from that. God's saving us for himself. We are his children. He's saving us for himself. We are the prize of his son. And we are the prize of his son's work if we believe today. So we go to Passover where this began. Israel is captive, slaves, 400 plus years. They're not getting anywhere. This is just tough. Pharaoh is not giving them a chance. They cry out and cry out and cry out, and God answers. And he answers with a plan. So God had never given them any instructions while they were in Egypt until now. So God now speaks this. The Lord says to Moses and Aaron, this is the month. It's a new calendar. This is the month. The new name of this will be Nisan. Tell the whole community, which is almost 2 million people, that on the 10th day, on the 10th day of Nisan, new month, which is today, is Lamb Selection Day. Jesus rolls into Jerusalem on Lamb Selection Day. Caiaphas rolls into Jerusalem on Lamb Selection Day too, with his lamb, the choicest lamb that you can raise, the Levitical lamb from the town of Bethlehem, six miles away, plus or minus. So the chief priest, Caiaphas, he's determined that he has the lamb that will be the sacrifice to forgive sins. It's temporary. God has a lamb that he's going to offer. And that lamb is coming in on the 10th day of Nisan as well. Now, to get it where people would see it, Jesus then tells his disciples, go to there's two towns, Bethany and Bethage, close by. Bethany meant poor house. Bethage meant house of unripe figs. You've already heard a message about the fig tree. It wasn't ripe. It wasn't ready. It was Israel. But in Bethany now is the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And in that home is where, in that town, is where Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead after 4 days. He's been there. They're familiar. The people in these towns know him. And they've been waiting. They're all asking, is he coming? Is he going to come? Because there's warrants out for his arrest. They couldn't figure out how to do it. But they were telling the people, if you know where he is, let us know. But they were afraid of the people as well, because they were thinking, you know, they think he's a prophet. They thought he was possessed. But he had done miracles, and the people were ready to follow him, and they came in. But he is developing this move. When they leave Jericho, they're leaving. Nobody really gets it completely except the blind guy. Two blind men are on the side of the road. Bartimaeus cries out, Son of David. Jesus had been kind of keeping his Messiah under wraps a little bit. He heals somebody and then he says, don't say anything. Don't make a big issue of this. He's totally out now. He is on the way. He's leading the thing. Disciples are in awe behind him. The rest of the crowd scared to death. He pulls his disciples aside and tells them, I'm going to be given up, beat, whipped, spit on, flogged on my way to rescue you. We go back in Exodus, and there's judgment. There's judgment on everyone who isn't covered by the blood. When Jesus goes to the cross, there's judgment. He's not here for judgment. He was here to save us, but judgment comes without the blood. This is 1,300 years before Jesus comes into Jerusalem. We move into Mark. We go to Mark 10, 32. They were on their way up to Jerusalem. Jesus is leading the way. His disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. He took the 12 aside and told them, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed by the chief priests, the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death, hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him, spit on him, flog him, kill him. 3 days later, he will rise again. Jesus knew his destiny. I think he knew his destiny early on. But God has just painted this picture and put it together for Jesus to be born where all the lambs are born. For Jesus to become the Lamb of God. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5:7, Christ is the Lamb of God. He is the sacrifice. He's done it. He's done it for us. We go into Mark 11. As they approached Jerusalem, they came to Bethphage and Bethany. He sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and when you enter it, you'll find a colt tied there. This animal was a beast of burden. This animal was for work. This animal was a servant animal. He's camping out in the town for the poor, and he's riding in on a beast of burden as a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The prophets said he would come in on the donkey. They also said he would be low and humble. They also said he would bring in peace. The problem is that's really not what the people wanted. They weren't looking for peace. They were looking for relief. Relief from their problems. Relief from Rome. Relief from poverty. And I think Christ is telling us, I'm sufficient. Just take me. And in me, all your problems will be resolved. I know you. I know you by name. I've called you and I've chosen you. Now this donkey, this colt, has never been ridden. A king's mount is only ridden by a king. Kings don't share their mounts. Jesus did not share this mount. He said he would send it back. I presume he did. We too have got to select the lamb. We've got to make a decision on where we're going. Who are we going with, and who are we going to serve? We sang about the Lamb, but I think when we see Easter, when we see Palm Sunday, we need to be thinking about the Lamb and the work that the Lamb did. The blood does not discriminate. The blood doesn't know your name, your color. God does. The blood is the evidence that God is giving us that he will do this on our behalf. We will later, millions, countless people are going to see the Lamb again. In Revelation 5:5-7, the 24 elders say to the John, stop weeping. Look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the heir of David's throne. Blind Bartimaeus is the only one that cried out, Son of David. And now we're seeing it here in Revelation. He truly is living by faith and not by sight. We don't need to see. We need to believe. And in believing, we'll see. Then I saw a lamb that looked as if it had been slaughtered. This is our lamb that they're talking about. But it was now standing between the throne and the four living beings, among the 24 elders, He had seven horns, seven eyes. He represented the sevenfold Spirit of God and sent out to every part of the earth. He stepped forward and took the scroll from the right hand of the one sitting on the throne. He left the right hand of God to be born in Bethlehem, to be our sacrificial lamb. What we see in Exodus 12, Jesus played out in a living parable right now, Holy Week. Jesus rode into Bethlehem on a donkey, carried by his mother before she gave birth. And then he voluntarily rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, just a two-mile ride. He didn't need the donkey. He was fulfilling prophecy. He was trying to help us. Can you not see it? But it's easy, I think, to look back and see how they miss this. How'd they miss it? He comes in on the lamb selection day. He comes in the eastern gate like he's supposed to. He comes in on a donkey from Zechariah 9. In Exodus 12, you got the lamb on the 10th day of Nisan. Then you cleaned your house. You got to clean your house. What does Jesus do? He comes in on the donkey, colt, never been ridden. First time he goes, they say, depending on whose verse you're reading, somebody says, well, which verse is right? Which book is right? God's right. Don't try to figure it out. Just believe it. Nobody's that. If anybody says they're that smart, I'm heading out the door. You ain't that smart. Just believe. This is not logical. He did this. Purposeful. He's living it out. He's living it out for us. He puts it low so we can see it. But we see in the scripture that only the blind man really saw it. But what do we want God for? They wanted God to give them relief from Rome. And when he didn't do that, they turned on him. They turned on him. Not many. It was prophetic that the shepherd, his helpers were going to flee. They were going to run. Not many stayed behind. But there's got to be something in here for us besides history. It can't just be history. Can't just be information. How do we move the needle to see who's rescuing us? I mean, even if you're counting ceiling tiles, this can happen. He is that faithful. He's looking for each and every one of us to see the great lengths that he went to. We are the prize of the Father. We're his prize. And they sang a new song with these words: you are worthy to take the scroll, break the seals, and open it. For you were slaughtered. We could say you were crucified for us. You were the lamb who was crucified for us. Your blood, the blood of Christ, has ransomed many people for God from every tribe and every language, every people and every nation. And you have caused them to become a kingdom of priests. That's a little hard to swallow, the kingdom of priests. But it's not really us. It's Christ in us that does the work. It is just Christ in us. It's truly not about striving as much as it is submitting. And it's not about trying as much as it is trusting. We need to give him a chance. We need to let him lead us. We need to let him provide us with everything. And they sang in a mighty chorus, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power, riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, glory, and blessing." And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, they sang, "Blessing and honor and glory and power belong to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb." He was showing us this in Exodus 12. It was his idea. He's telling Aaron and Moses, pick a lamb on the 10th day of the month. And this month now will be the beginning of a new era for you. This is new. Today is Lamb Selection Day. And you may say, well, you know, I've done that. You need to select him every day. For what? For salvation. How about just for guidance? How about peace? When I think about peace right now, I'm thinking about Officer Al. What do I want for Officer Al? Officer Al is our deputy that was out here. He listened to Pastor Nathan for 3 years' messages. If the medical community's right, he'll pass here someday, soon. My prayer is peace for him, peace for his family, that he may exemplify to them that I chose well and I got picked right. God picked me. He was happy to be here with us. I don't think we'll see him back. If we do, that's God's miracle in itself. But he's picked. He picked the Lamb. And he will, in the future, not too long from now, be face to face with the Lamb. We have an opportunity. It's more than salvation. It's our daily life. We need him for everything. I would say that our success as Christians will be directly related to how close we sit to Christ. Sit close. Draw near. Abide in him and let him lead. I'm going to go ahead and pray, not because there's hamburgers cooking, but there is. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for what you did. I thank you for your rescue story of each and every one of us. And if you haven't been rescued yet, cry out to him. He may come sooner than 400 years. He may come right now. But he's done all this to get our attention. He's done all this to make a way. He's done all this so we can be his prize. I thank you for all you're doing at Upper Room, Nightingale, the beach. You've been so good to us. Our success at Upper Room has been directly related to the long arm of favor of God. We have nothing without his favor. And I say to each and every one of us here, our success will be in the long arm of God. Let's keep him in sight. Let's worship the Lamb. In Jesus' name, amen.